to start the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Cairns, I guess you wouldn't mind that if somebody said, hey, I pay your heating bill, right?
Oh, wow. I just got our latest heating bill a couple days ago. And, man, it was much higher than it normally is. We got a space heater for Tessa's room because it's always incredibly cold.
It
really spiked this time around.
So are you guys, you don't necessarily like do that balancer where it just
No, we just pay it as it comes.
We do the balancer, but we paid back a bunch of them, more than $1,000 worth. I could check the Web Facebook page and get the specific numbers for you, but that's just round one. Three more rounds to go, and so get those heating bills into us, all right?
Very good.
We would even pay yours, so why not? I mean, you're not a paid employee of WWIB, so.
That's true. Maybe people don't know that I don't get paid for.
Yeah,
for
so this, we could, so. We could. I think you'd be eligible to win.
The bill's coming. The bill's coming.
All right, send it in. Please do.
All right.
In the meantime, how was your weekend?
It was good. You know, I was able to have breakfast with you on Saturday.
Yeah.
We celebrated Alex's birthday this weekend.
Yeah.
So that was good. Other than that, pretty chill weekend.
And we celebrated Peggy's the party on Friday night, the big 5-0 for her. So
it's cool. It's good to have celebrations like that.
It is, absolutely. Having said that, I'm apologizing. This next part is kind of a downer. But even when I read the headlines this morning, the top headline had to do with this. The top headline was, today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Oof. Yeah.
And survivors and family members gathering in Poland to mark the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp. So what I have is survivor Michael Bornstein, who's returning to Auschwitz for the anniversary, was just 4 years old when he was held there.
I seem to remember the smell, the foul, disgusting smell that I found out later. It's the smell of burning bodies.
I know that's rough early in the morning, but I don't know what else to do, you know? Bornstein says he had no desire to return, but came back anyway for one simple reason.
I remember going out looking at trash cans to find moldy potato skins to eat to survive.
Think about that. That's what you're eating, moldy potato skins. Finally, but he survived a concentration camp. Bornstein says Auschwitz serves as an important reminder.
To say the Kaddish, the prayer for all the dead people, and especially my father and my brother.
And again, more than a million people, including Bornstein's father and brother, lost their lives at Auschwitz. About 50 survivors, along with delegations from dozens of countries, were expected at the commemoration. But apparently only, as it says, only about 50 survivors. But any thoughts when you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking. I mean, when you think of that, when you watch shows or watch movies like Schindler's List, which is pretty old now, you know, it always raises that question, what leads to a society going in that direction, right? You know, what was happening in the hearts and minds of people? And, you know, I think that it's important for us to reflect on those questions. And how do we not become so steeled or avoidant of people's humanity that we start treating people that way?
Yeah, I think about Jesus' words in Matthew 24, because of the increase in evil, the love of most would grow cold. And everybody who hears that, but certainly every believer, one would think, is just like, all right, Lord, protect me. We don't want to do that, you know?
Right. Yeah, and yet you look around and see dehumanization happening all the time and celebration of dehumanization, and it's heartbreaking.
And I think about, I mentioned Matthew 24, but Matthew 25, and we shared some of that as I look at my notes here back in October. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to close it out with, again, kind of rough stuff, but it is the, paying attention to that International Holocaust Remembrance Day today. We got Acts chapter 11, 4-9 today.
And that says, then Peter told them exactly what had happened. I was in the town of Joppa, he said, and while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles, and birds, and I heard a voice say, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, I replied, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. But the voice from heaven spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.
Mm. All right, and then so in your Letters to Beloved devotional commentary, you have kind of a retelling paragraph, and then you have this. Beloved, when I created the cosmos, I called everything good. Every bird, tree, and toadstool was evidence of my creative beauty. One of the most destructive effects of sin entering the world was the failure to see the goodness and beauty in all created things. No created thing exists apart from my glory. Final thought.
Yeah, I mean, that fits with what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. When we live to see the goodness in all created things, as opposed to this thing is bad, this thing is evil, this thing doesn't belong. I think we reflect the heart of God.
Good thought. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Our friend Jason Cairns, best 5 minutes of the day.
Good morning and happy Make Us Laugh Monday. This is Sherry from Whitehall. I got this joke from my granddaughter, Ellie, this weekend. I always thought air was free until I opened a bag of potato chips. Have a great Monday. God bless.
Yeah, isn't that the case? That's a good one. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate it from your granddaughter. All right, so Valley Brook Church in Eau Claire, Pastor Nate Obwan, beginning his message with this joke yesterday.
Well, I recently read a story which gave me a bit of a chuckle. The story was about a preacher, his wife, and a shoebox. One day the preacher found this shoebox in his closet that he never really looked inside before. So he decided, oh, I'm going to look inside the shoebox. And when he did, inside the shoebox, he found some very strange items. He found 5 eggs and a stash of cash that totaled $1,000. He thought, huh, this is weird. So he called his wife into the room and he said, honey, what's up with the shoebox? And his wife said, well, when we got married 20 years ago, I decided that every time you preached a bad sermon, I would put an egg in the shoebox. The preacher thought about this for a few seconds and they got really excited. He stood up a little bit taller, his shoulders got broader, and he said, honey, I've been preaching for 20 years, and I've only had 5 bad sermons? And then in his pride, he said to his wife, I knew that I was a good preacher. But he was still curious about the cash, so he said, well, what's up with the cash? And his wife said, well, every time I collect a dozen eggs, I sell them.
That's very good. Very good joke there to start the sermon yesterday. Good job, Nate.
Of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yes, that's becoming a common lead-in to our time with our stand-up comic pastor friend, Drew Frelick in Michigan. Drew, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
2 weeks in a row, we've used that clip from Wide World of Sports, the thrill of victory. The last week was the agony defeat for the Lions, but then what happened last Monday night was the College Football National Championship, and Ohio State beat Notre Dame, and so it just so happens you live in Michigan. The biggest college football rival there is Michigan and Ohio State. And so as we were planning what to do today, you threw it out to me. And what did I say was an idea?
Well, I have a friend who's an Ohio State Buckeye. And I guess you wanted me to congratulate him on air.
Well, for starters, it was just the idea of you. I'm like, well, we could begin with you congratulating Ohio State. So you representing the entire state of Michigan, wishing them congratulations. But it just so happens we have your workout buddy, Big Mike, on the line. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for talking to us. So you live in Ferndale, Michigan, outside of Detroit, like Drew. And but you what? How is it to live in Michigan as an Ohio State person? Do people try to run you out of the state or what?
Well, it kind of depends, right? Because Michigan the past few years have whooped Ohio State, so I get to hear that at work pretty much constantly. But, yeah, grew up in Ohio, moved up to Michigan, wasn't sure what to expect, and I still don't get used to seeing all the Michigan apparel all around on all the stores and all that good stuff. But it's all good fun.
All right. So what, did you grow up in Ohio?
Yeah, born and raised in Akron, Ohio, and I went to Ohio State.
Ah, okay, very good. The Ohio State University, correct?
Yeah, you said it, not me.
Yeah, right. Well, Drew, this is a chance for humility, right? For you to...
Yeah. No, it's personal growth. Yeah, and the thing is it does show a lot of growth on my part, because Mike is he's a particularly egregious fan. He wears, like, Ohio State stuff during the sermon, you know?
Oh, wow.
We thought about putting him on suspension from the church, but...
Yeah.
So this is a big deal for me. So yeah, Mike, Michael, you know, congratulations, Ryan Day, OSU, on the national championship. It's a big year for you guys. I mean, you still lost to Michigan. But,
there it is. You know?
No, it's a big deal. I mean, you still lost to Michigan. So really, who's the real national championship? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. But that's great.
I was waiting for that part.
That's and, that's like an apology. That's like an apology that says but.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You guys are doing a great job. And keep up the good work.
All right.
Whatever it is a Buckeye is. I'm not even sure what that is. But
through clenched teeth, Drew was able to muster it. Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for giving us a lap. We're the peacemaker. We're the mediator, Wisconsin. Nobody confuses us for the national champ. So
that's
thank
right.
you very much. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a great Monday. There we go. Always looking for something new and creative and fun here with Drew and his buddy Big Mike on the receiving end of the, I don't know, kind of a half-hearted congratulations, I think. Weekend recap, WWIB, and a Make Us Laugh Monday. By the way, if you got a joke, we'd love to hear it at 396-1670. Our jokes later in the next half hour. My weekend, Friday night, my wife turned 50 on Friday, and so for her actual birthday, we had a great get-together Friday night, and thanks to so many friends and even some family members who made the way there, and thanks to our friend Nate for some terrific food, and lots. It's always after. You just throw something like that when people say, hey, great party. That was a lot of fun, so a lot of people said that. Randy's breakfast on Saturday is a staple, and we were there gathered around the table. And then Sunday, hanging out with a friend yesterday afternoon, a wonderful DiGiorno pizza lunch, and the Philly-Washington game, which turned into kind of a blowout.
It really did. It did.
Mm-hmm.
My weekend going back to Saturday morning, a youth basketball coach with the YMCA. So, man, I'm just enjoying the kids on my team more and more each week, seeing their hard work and the fun that they're having, and they're getting better each week. So I truly enjoy that. I have a great time hanging out with the kids on Saturday morning, so I enjoyed that. We had a lot of sickness in our house recently, and so it was a quiet weekend. We're not able to go up to church because, again, too many people under the weather in our household. So Nora was feeling a little bit better on Saturday, so we had a daddy-daughter kind of shopping date. Nice. Again, just kind of getting regular things, but she loves shopping of any sort, any type. And so she and I went out and enjoyed that shopping trip together on Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning, thankful for the live stream of church again, as we were not feeling well, and certainly would appreciate prayers from my family, as we've been under the weather for quite a while now. And so anyway, enjoyed the live stream of church and watched a little bit of the Philly game. Not a whole lot, but watched a little bit of it in the afternoon. I love getting deals at the grocery store. Love it. It's kind of a sport for me, and found some great deals on chocolate chips and flour and powdered sugar and brown sugar at Hy-Vee. Like some really good deals, like over 50% off what you would normally pay. So I was super, super excited about that. I know it's kind of nerdy, but I just really enjoy getting deals at the grocery store. So enjoyed that. And then watched most of the Chiefs and Bills game. Enjoyed that game. Was kind of rooting for the Bills. Not even kind of. I was rooting for the Bills, but congratulations to the Chiefs and an entertaining football game. Read a little of my book, and that finished off a Sunday evening.
Coach Caleb, I think that's another term we could use for you.
There you go. Going back to coaching a Powder Puff football team in college. That was my first coaching experience, and yeah, we won. So there we go.
I think you would be a good coach.
Still
yeah.
proud of that.
The Whip Wake Up Show, three jokes apiece for Caleb and I here on WWIB and a Make Us Laugh Monday morning. I'll go first. Caleb, what do you call a train full of bubble gum?
I don't know.
A choo-choo train.
I like that one.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I have another job besides this, and I hate it. All I do is crush pop cans all day. It's just soda pressing.
Okay. I like that, too. We're two for two, I think. We'll see if I can keep it going here. I was on a diabetes awareness site, and it asked me if I accept cookies, and I'm like, is that a trick question?
That's a good one. I'm pretty sure we've done this one before, but you know what? When you're scraping at the bottom of the barrel for human material, sometimes you repeat things. So, Havel, yesterday I 8 o'clock. It was very time-consuming, especially when I went back for seconds.
All right, yes, yes. You got to really be thinking there. My last one, I'll be honest, I ate a shepherd's pie last night, and he was not happy about it.
Oh, and finally for me on a Make Us Laugh Monday, and you are always welcome to submit your jokes. They're probably better than ours.
We set the bar low.
3-9-6-16-70-7-1-5-3-9-6-1-6-7-0. Well, yesterday a book just fell on my head. I only have my shelf to blame.
We are done for the week. That's the good news is we got a whole week to prepare for next time.
Yes. Probably won't be much better, but we do what we can.
The Whip Wake Up Show on Make Us Laugh Monday, WWIB. Headline, average parent spends just 5 hours face-to-face with their kids, not per day, per week.
Wow. The concept of a close-knit family, maybe not as much in that Leave It to Beaver era as we were in yesteryear, right?
Yeah, a recent survey of 1,000 parents finds that the average parent spends a mere 5 hours a week communicating face-to-face with their kids. And I got to say, Caleb, one of the things going through my head is, and how many hours a week are we looking at screens, you know? Right.
More than half of surveyed moms and dads with children under the age of 18 said they felt, quote, distant from their kids.
Yeah, and all 43% blame their measly family time on their kids spending too much time on screens.
Now, can I raise my hand? I know we're on the radio. Can I raise my hand here and say, and this is looking at myself too, but parents, we blame the kids' screen time. Yeah. How addicted, how attached are we to our own screens, to our own phones? And, oh, I just got to send that because I know I'm guilty. Just got to reply to this email. Just got to handle something on social media, whatever it is. So, yeah, we blame the kids' screen time. Let's look at ourselves as well, too, and say, are we doing the same thing?
Yeah, another 51% say their kids spend too much time in their bedrooms.
Another 44% said, and again, these are parents surveyed, said their disconnect is a result of their kids logging inordinate amounts of time on their phones during traditional, quote, family time in the evening. So, I don't know. Look outward, look inward as well. I think we need to solve this, right? 5 hours of face-to-face time a week with your kids.
I mentioned last hour we had a birthday party for my wife on Friday night. One of the great things during that party over, you know, 3+ hours was just the idea of nobody was sitting there looking at her phone. There was a lot of face-to-face interaction. You know, conversations going on all over. Got a little noisy at times, but kind of reminded me of the good old days.
Yeah, it's so, let's strive for that, parents. And again, I'm speaking to myself as well to pull ourselves away from the screens a little bit, from the distractions, and be focused on the children, the blessings that God's given us, right?
The Whip Wake Up Show on WWIB. You know, it's not often we take a segment to talk about flowers.
But we are, because this is a very unique flower that only comes in bloom every once in a while, and folks apparently are going to be lining up to sniff it.
Yeah, it's a rare corpse flower, Amorphophallus gigas, has blossomed at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, drawing crowds eager to experience its very unique scent.
Now, go back just a little bit. What is it called? A corpse flower. That might give you a little indicator about how good this smells. The plant, named Smelliot.
That sounds like a middle school boy thing.
Has been cared for by gardener Chris Sprindis for 7 years. It's only one of four in a U.S. garden. Only four of these in the entire United States. And Smelliot has come into bloom, this rare corpse flower.
Here's the thing now. The bloom, which takes typically about 7 to 10 years to occur, the bloom is so short-lived, it only lasts a few days.
That's why people are very, very eager to sniff it. Why, I'm not sure. Let me give you a little bit more information. The corpse flower's pungent aroma is designed to attract flies and beetles that lay eggs in dead animals, allowing the larvae to feed.
The smell is intense, with visitors describing it as rotting garbage,
sweaty,
putrid,
and even stinky cheese.
That's what came to my mind when I was thinking about it. Wow.
And visitors are waiting in line for hours to catch a whiff of this infamous scent, this infamous flower, the corpse flower, only one of four in the United States. And they're saying, you know what? I've got nothing better to do than just go smell something horrid.
Well, you know, it's unique, right? You're looking for a unique experience.
Oh, my goodness. Smelliot, if you happen to be in your Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, check it out.
Oh, boy.